This is Real Estate Rookie, episode 125.
We just got some numbers for like fixing up the siding, gutters, downspout. I have to build a garage out back. All of that is already like $30,000. I was like, so maybe it is going to be more. But honestly, even if I only refinance out half of my money, like I'm just excited to have my first deal done.
My name is Ashley Kerr, and I'm here with my co-host, Tony Robinson, and we are live in Las Vegas.
So this is Ashley's first time, like, partying at the pool parties in Vegas. So me and my wife, Sarah, came out early to show a good time before we recorded today. So this is Ashley and I, not hungover, but recovering a little bit from yesterday's fun.
The best part was that it was day drinking, yeah. So we had our 14 hours of sleep to recover. But I've been to Vegas, I don't know, maybe 8 times, and I've never gone to a pool party. So Tony gave me that experience yesterday.
And
so.
She was very thankful for it.
Yes. Yeah, so it was a great time. So today we have Bryn on, and we are going to do a live podcast recording for you guys.
Yeah, and it's fun because we don't do this often. We did it once before with my wife, Sarah, and Ashley's partner, Joe. But the first time that we had like an actual guest, you know, and on site, on location somewhere. So yeah, excited to dive in.
Are current interest rates making you depressed about cash flow? What if it didn't have to be that way? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller financed 2.99% interest rate where the average cash flow is over $900 per month. They also have options where you can put as low as 5% down on multiple investment properties with no PMI. Rent to Retirement is the nation's leading turnkey investment company that understands what it takes to be successful in today's dynamic real estate market. Their reputation speaks for itself with more 5-star reviews than any other company on the BiggerPockets website. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest with confidence in the markets that offer the best returns. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today.
Okay, so Bryn, welcome to the show and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys. I'm so excited.
Yeah, well, why don't you start a little bit with your backstory and how you got started in real estate?
Okay, so I just got started very recently. I'm probably like the most rookie of all rookies on your podcast. I just got my first property, just closed last month. I haven't even seen it yet, but this Friday, I'm heading back to Ohio where I purchased the property, and I'll start renovating it myself with my dad. So I live in Las Vegas, so I'm basically traveling all the way back to Ohio to do the renovation hands-on with my dad.
There's so many things we have to break down with that. First of all, why did you decide you wanted to buy a property? Why did you pick that market? Why did you pick that house? So let's start with first, why did you decide to invest in real estate?
So we bought our first house here in Vegas, I think about 3 years ago, and not because I wanted to invest in real estate or anything. I just wanted to buy my own house. So after we bought it, my boyfriend was looking into Grant Cardone, and he always talks about how if it has one door, you shouldn't buy it or something like that. Basically, like if it doesn't have multiple doors, you shouldn't buy it. So my boyfriend's like, I just listened to this guy and he said, like, we shouldn't have bought this house because it only has one door. So I was like, what? So I just started kind of looking into real estate from there on. I didn't know anything about it, but a lot of people suggested that I should listen to Bigger Pockets. So I was like, okay. So I just started listening to Bigger Pockets. And then I learned about the Burr strategy, which I was like, holy crap. I didn't even know that was possible. So that's basically where I started becoming interested, when I learned, like, it's not like a guessing game. You can actually work the numbers and, you know what I mean? Like, build wealth that way. So I was like, I need to do that.
That's such a great point, is work the numbers and you can see if it's going to be a good deal or a bad deal. Can you explain what a Burr strategy is, what that is for anyone that doesn't know?
So basically you buy the property, you renovate the property, then you rent it, you refinance your money back out, and then you just basically use the same money to go buy more and more deals. So to me, I was like, that means I only have to come up with money one time. And then from there on, I can just keep snowballing into more properties.
Right. So, Brent, I want to take it back a little bit, right? Because I think what also makes me love real estate investing is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is. If you apply the strategies, you can find success in doing it, right? Like, I share my story on the show a lot, right? I'm a young Black guy. I became a dad when I was 16. Like, if you look at the statistics, I'm not supposed to be sitting here in the seat being like a real estate investor, right? We had someone on the podcast the other day that spent 8 years in prison, right? And he bought his first investment property less than 2 years after he was released from prison.
Awesome.
So I want to get into your backstory a little bit, because I know it's unique and I want to share that with people to show that it doesn't matter what you're doing before, but real estate can be a path for anybody.
Yes. Okay, so basically I do OnlyFans and it's known to be like a pretty risque site and stuff. I'm not going to go into what I do on there, but I don't do anything crazy. But yeah, a lot of people just assume that we're all stupid and we just like spend our money on like lingerie and vacations, which is fine if you want to do that. But I've been like hoarding my money in my bank account for the past year and a half. And I'm just like, now's the time. I'm using all of this money that I've saved up and I'm going to use it for something that's going to benefit me in the future. Like, obviously, I'm really tempted to always just go on vacations and do things like that. But I've tried to have some self-control and like save up so I can build for my future. So in 10 years, I don't have to worry about anything.
I love that you touched on like the stigma, right? Because it doesn't matter what your background is, like someone's always going to place like a stereotype on you, right? Mm-hmm. Like I said, as a young Black guy growing up, I got that a lot myself too. But I guess what was the trigger for you that said, okay, I'm making all this money. I want to make sure that I'm not blowing it on, like, was it the conversation with your boyfriend? Was it something else? Did you always have that inside of you just to kind of be a little bit more frugal? Like, what was the trigger there?
So I actually, before I started making money on OnlyFans, I was already doing OnlyFans, but I wasn't making that much money on there. I had a friend who helped me out and like basically told me what I was doing wrong and told me how I could make more money. So I was used to living on a very, very small amount of money every month, like barely scraping by. So when I just quadrupled my income in a month, I didn't know what to do with it. So I was just saving it. And then I realized like it's not that hard to just save my money. And I did have a little bit of a lifestyle creep, like for a minute, like I went and bought a Tesla and I did go on a few vacations, but I still managed to save like a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I was able to buy this house and still like, I'm going to use my own money to do all of the renovations as well. So I'm just thankful that I didn't let the lifestyle creep way too high, you know?
So it was the fact that you were already kind of living on this smaller budget. Mm-hmm. But I guess that, you know, there's a little bit of lifestyle creep, but I guess, like, was it that conversation with your boyfriend that kind of gave you the goal of, okay, let's make sure we put this money to use? Or were you just stashing and saying, we'll figure out what to do with it later?
I was pretty much just stashing it, saying, I'll figure out what to do with it later. Like, I knew if I just saved, then I would just have the money saved. But then once he started talking about, like, the multifamily investing and Grant Cardone and all this stuff, and I started looking into real estate, that gave me a bigger, like, reason to actually start saving more, you know?
Yeah. One more comment on that, right? I think that for a lot of people, they think that they can save their way to big wealth, right? That they can save their way to massive wealth.
I did at first. I was just like, oh, I'm just going to hoard this and have $100,000 for when I retire.
Right. But it's like, you got to put it to work in some way, right? And, like, for people, Grant Cardone actually talks about this a lot too, right? Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's like, you can cut out the $5 that you spend a day going to Starbucks and save however much money that is per month, or you can figure out how to quadruple your income.
Yep.
And then you don't have to worry about spending $5 in the latte. So for the rookies, for those of you that are listening, obviously controlling your expenses is super important. Mm-hmm. And living beneath your means is super important. But focusing on exploding your income is even more important, because that's what's really going to give you the leverage. When I was working my W-2 job, it wasn't until I started really seeing gains in that way, right, where my income was going up and up every year, that we finally had enough money left over to start really aggressively investing into property. So you got to attack both sides, right? You got to save and you got to focus on the income.
Right. Especially at first, you know, even if you are just saving and you don't have a purpose, that's okay. It's better than not saving, you know, mm-hmm. but definitely, I feel like real estate is the number one easiest way to, I guess, the safest way to invest. You know what I mean? So that's why I always preach to everybody, like, get into real estate instead of, like, any other investments, you know?
Yeah, because you have more control over
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So going back to doing your OnlyFans and saving your money, how long were you doing that before you started investing in real estate?
So since I just bought the property 2 months ago, closed a month ago. Yeah, closed a month ago. I guess I was saving for probably a year and a half, maybe. Yeah. I think I kept telling myself, yeah, I'm going to buy an investment property, but, you know, it's like the analysis paralysis thing. But then I started doing this program called 75 Hard, where it's like 75 days of mental toughness. And that's when I decided to just say, I'm just buying a property. Like, mm-hmm. screw it. I'm just not waiting any longer. Like, these numbers seem good. Like, even if they don't work out perfect, I don't care. I'm just doing it. Like, I just need to get in the game. So, yeah.
And doing your OnlyFans, that's like a business for you, right? So you've learned how to run a business. You do your marketing. You took constructive criticism to triple your income. Mm-hmm. So how do you think that's going to help you with your real estate business, is having that entrepreneurial spirit already?
That's a good question, because I feel like OnlyFans is definitely a lot different, because I don't want to say it's easy. It is mentally somewhat exhausting, but it's easier because it's just me selling myself and I already had a fan base. So a lot of women will ask me for help and I give them all the pointers that I can, but I can't lie. I kind of had it easy because I already had a fan base. So yeah. I didn't have to, like, start from the ground up. But there are girls I know that make more money than me that have less of a following that started from the ground up. So it's not like it's impossible. Yeah. You know, you literally just have to work hard. That's all it is.
And that's what I'm trying to get at, is that you have that endurance. Mm-hmm. You have that.
Yeah.
Like, you took action. You set your mind to do it. We're going to have you back on in a couple of years and see where you've grown.
Hopefully I'll have like 100 properties by then.
But I think what you're getting at too, Ash, right, is that, like, skills translate. And we're talking about this in one of our other recordings as well. It's like, there are so many people who develop these skills in their worlds and their lives outside of real estate investing, not realizing how those habits, how those abilities, how those character traits can translate in a positive way into real estate investing. Yep. So if you've already built this successful business, you've already practice the financial discipline, like, all of those things are going to translate mm-hmm. into the investing side as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely important too, the financial discipline thing. Because, like I said, I started getting the lifestyle creep and then I was like, nope, not doing that. Like, I need to calm down. Like, I'm going to wait until I actually, like, for real, have, like, lots of properties and millions before I start doing all that crazy stuff.
Let's touch on that a little bit too, right? Because for a lot of rookie investors, they're looking at the people around them. And, you know, you've heard the saying, like, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm. And for a lot of people, your five average, they're probably not real estate investors, right? Yep. For most people. And when they hear that, hey, I want to buy this rental property, or hey, I want to go do this thing in real estate investing, they kind of look at you like you're crazy. Like, were you seeing any of that from people that you know, whether friends, family, other people in the industry that you work in?
Yeah, pretty much everybody that I know. No, I'm just kidding. So I started following. One thing that really helped me was I started like following you guys and following more real estate investors. So even though in real life I wasn't surrounding myself with those people, it's almost the same thing because we spend a lot of time on social media. So you really have to follow the right people. Like, I muted a lot of people that, you know, their content wasn't serving me anymore. And I started following people who were going to lift me up and motivate me to do better. So, but yeah, as far as in real life, it was my parents like support me with everything I do. So they kind of didn't try to talk me out of it, but they were like, well, just be careful, you know, because like they don't know anything about real estate investing. Yeah. So they were just like, you know, be careful. I don't know, that property doesn't look so good or whatever. And I'm just like, trust me, please. Like, I promise. Like, I promise it's going to be okay.
So I guess one quick plug, right? For those of you that are watching, that are listening, Brent's talking about the importance of community. If you're not in the Real Estate Rookie Facebook group, there's what, like 30,000 plus people in there. Yeah. It is literally one of the most active, one of the most engaged real estate Facebook groups that I've been a part of. So if you're looking for that community yourself, you haven't found it, reach out to us on the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Rookie Facebook group.
Yeah, and also on the forums too, biggerpockets.com. Absolutely. You find a lot of people there to connect with.
Yeah, not even so much as, you know, like seeing posts, inspiring and motivating yourself, but you really do make connections with people. Yeah. Like, I made the connections with you guys. Yeah. And I listen to podcasts and I'll go and follow the people that I hear interview and I'll just like tag them or reach out to them. And a lot of the times they'll respond and I'll actually get to like meet them and have conversations with them online. So it's like super beneficial to constantly be learning from the podcast. And then not only that, but reaching out to the people that inspire you or that like sparked an interest for you. And you never know, you could make a connection that could not just benefit you, but
change your life.
Yeah, well, exactly.
First time we had talked on Instagram, you had done a post and tagged, use the hashtag real estate rookie. So it came up on my feed and I loved it because you had put an offer out there about the $2,000. Oh, yeah. You want to tell everyone about that?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I made a post and I just said, I'll give anybody who can bring me like an actually legit, like you worked the numbers already and it's a good deal, I'll give you $2,000. So obviously people are just sending me like Zillow, like, yeah. Oh, here, I found this property down the street. It's like $500,000. It's like a shithole. And I'm like, that's not what I meant. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. But never mind. But so yeah, I never paid anybody $2,000 because nobody sent me a good deal, but yeah. It was worth a shot. You know, I was trying to get creative.
Yeah, definitely.
Guys, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this deal. How did you choose the market that you did?
So I'm actually from Columbus, Ohio. I moved to Vegas 7 years ago. So I wanted to get a property there first because my whole family's back home. My dad's done construction, not construction, but carpentry his whole life. So he can build a house from the ground up. So I was like, he's going to be my partner. He's going to help me do all the renovations. And then I'm going to Airbnb it. So that way I have a place to stay when I go back. Airbnb is definitely not as tough to get permits for out there, which in Vegas, it's nearly impossible. So I had a lot of reasons for doing Columbus first as my first property. So I'm trying to think of the other reasons, but oh yeah. And it's cheaper. It's not like, I mean, I did try to get, you know, more downtown area. So it was a little more expensive, but compared to Vegas, like it's like half the price. So I was like, I can get more bang for my buck on this first one, you know?
And was that your, like the initial market that you focus on, or were there other markets you potentially analyzed and landed on Columbus, or was that from the jump the only one?
So I actually got my real estate license out here in Vegas because I was like, I'm going to use the MLS and find myself a deal. But it's way tougher out here, at least in so far what I've seen, than it was in Columbus. So yeah, I just found a realtor out there. I actually was interested in buying an Airbnb out there a couple years ago and it just never worked out. So then I had him, my realtor, update my MLS search because I was going to buy like an already done like condo out there. And then I was like, never mind, I'm going to do the Burr method. I want like a super shitty house. So yeah.
But, you know, the timeline that you're following, like, I think that's common for a lot of people, right? Like, even for me, for my first deal, my wife and I, we went out to Louisiana. So let me back it up, right? I live in Southern California. We bought our first property in Louisiana, like multiple states away. And it was a very similar process where...
And it's still for sale.
And it's still, one of them still for sale. I got one of them still for sale. So if anyone wants to buy it, all right, side note, right? So I don't even think I've told you this yet, Ashley, but as we're trying to get the house sold, we have notes coming back from these other agents saying that there's like buckling in one of the, in the floors, like in the living room.
Oh, because you just had the tenant move out, right?
So it's being out. It was vacant, right? But more and more people started commenting on this. So we had like a handyman go through. Apparently there was like a pinhole leak in the guest bathroom that seeped water into the subfloor underneath. So we just spent like $8,000 trying to repair the floor in this house. So the house that just keeps on giving. So anyway, if anyone wants to buy, we just spent like $8,000 fixing this portion of the floor. But okay, back to my point, right? Gosh, now I lost this stupid house in Louisiana.
I'm sorry.
But no, my point was that it took us about that same level of time, right? Mm-hmm. We started off, okay, can we do it in our backyard? California's too expensive. Okay, where else can we go? I went to Louisiana because my mom, my stepdad were there, right? So it's a similar kind of story. And I think the lesson here for the rookies is that even if where you live is too expensive, don't be afraid to go somewhere else, right? You can either A, go somewhere else where it's cheaper, or B, find a strategy that works in your expensive market, right? Because now we're investing in California, but we're not doing long-term rentals. We're doing Airbnbs. We're doing short-term rentals, and we're doing well with that, right? So either go to a market where you can employ the strategy that you want, or find the strategy that works in the market that you're in. So you went with the latter, and it seems to be working out well for you.
Yep. That's another thing I learned from Bigger Pockets, too, was you can find ways to invest in your market. Like, it doesn't matter where you live, even if you live in downtown LA, there's probably somebody that's come up with some creative way to house hack or something there. And you know what I mean? It's not too expensive. So, yeah, I've learned all types of ways of investing off of Bigger Pockets. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about this first deal. So you spend some time kind of going through the MLS listings. About how long would you say you were looking? How many offers did you put in before you got that first one secured?
So after I decided to switch up the criteria for houses, I think I put in 3 offers, and that was my 3rd offer, and it got accepted. And actually, my 2nd offer, my realtor texted me like the next day and was like, your 2nd offer also just got accepted. And he's like, do you want both? And I was like, so I was like looking like which one's better. So I just decided to go with the 3rd one and back out of the 2nd offer. But yeah,
let's pause on that. Why not take both? Why not do both?
So I know I could have figured it out, but I knew that this house that I did actually end up buying needed a lot of renovations, and I'm doing it with my own money. So I just didn't want to overextend myself for the first one. Yeah. I know that like later on I can find like people to partner with, and I could do different types of, what's it called?
Like partnership structures?
Yeah, pretty much. Just financing. Yeah. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word. But yeah, for the first one, I just want to do it all myself with all my own cash. And I was just like, I don't know. Doing 2 at once seems kind of like a little bit too much for me at first.
So, and that's something we don't talk about a lot, is we always talk about like growth, scaling, figuring out how to get the next deal. And we don't talk about taking it at a pace that you're comfortable with too. And
I suffer from the other thing. Like, I move too fast.
Me too.
Right?
Like, me too.
Honestly, I feel like I'm going to be the same way. Like, as soon as I get this first one done, I'm going to be like, all right, I want 5. Give me 5.
When I got my first deal, it was almost the same exact situation. I've been submitting a bunch of offers. I get my first house. It's under contract. And then, like, a week later, a house that I put an offer in on, like, months ago, finally called me back and said, hey, we'll take your offer. And I was like, well, what the heck? Like, what am I going to do? So that's how I ended up finding my partner. So my wife's cousin, who's my partner, like, on all of our deals now, I sent him an email. I said, hey, look at this property. We've kind of been talking. He replied like 5 minutes later, said, I'm in. And that's how we ended up getting that second property. Now we're partners, awesome. You know, on everything else. But
cool.
I think you're right. There is like a level of kind of pacing yourself and not overextending yourself. I'm sure my wife, Sarah, would appreciate if I did do that a little bit more. But, you know, I can't help it. So.
So you purchased this property with all cash then?
Well, no, I did do financing on it. But so I could have done it. No, actually, I couldn't have done it all cash, but I could have done most of it. All cash, but I just wanted to do the renovation with the rest of my cash.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to do financing on the house. And because the numbers I worked for the ARV seemed pretty high, so I'm pretty sure I can refinance all of my money back out.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to do financing on the house and use the cash to do the renovation, because I'm really new, like I said, so I didn't want to have to stress out about trying to figure out how to finance the renovation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, let's dive into the numbers of the house. What was the purchase price of it?
$160,000.
And what were they asking?
They were asking $139,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The reason why, because my realtor was like, it's underpriced. Like, you should offer more. And I was like, I trust you. So they actually did the appraisal and it appraised for $165,000. So he was right. I mean, it was really undervalued. And after I fix it up, it's going to, from what I work the numbers, be $340,000.
Wow, so awesome. And how much rehab are you going to put into that?
So since I'm Airbnb-ing, it's going to be more. Mm-hmm. I think for just the renovations, it's going to be around $80,000. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, hopefully maybe I can keep it under that. But for furnishing it and stuff like that, I'm going to have to spend more. Hopefully no more than $20,000. Yeah. I worked the numbers as best as I could, but like I said, I'm pretty new. So
is it a single family house?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But you have your dad. Did your dad help you kind of put together the rehab budget, or did you do that on your own?
He was like, what's the budget? And I was like, well, you know, I'm going to try to shoot for around $80,000. He was like, okay. And then we just got some numbers for like fixing up the siding, gutters, downspout. I have to build a garage out back. And then there was the fascia we had to get redone. And all of that is already like $30,000. I was like, oh, okay. So maybe it is going to be more. But honestly, even if I only refinance out half of my money, like, I don't care. I'm just excited to have my first deal done, you know? Even if I mess up, it's like, whatever.
It can be a learning experience,
exactly,
too. And I really like that you held some of your cash back, mm-hmm, so that you have those reserves in place. And if you do go over budget, that you, worst case scenario, you spend that money that you were planning on spending anyways.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I definitely think that's one thing that I've learned also from Bigger Pockets, mm-hmm, is to always have reserves, like, yeah, no matter what.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely, the $80,000 that I wanted to have for the renovation, I have a little more than that already, like, stashed away just in case. Like,
right.
Just for anything, you know?
Yeah.
Anything could happen.
And that makes you feel a lot more comfortable, mm-hmm, about getting started. So if it takes somebody even longer just to save that extra money, that's fine. You don't have to take action today. You just can't have analysis paralysis for 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But I think the other important point too, Brynn, is that you said, I don't care if it's not the perfect burr, right? I don't care if I don't get all my money back. It's just about getting started. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what holds a lot of rookies back, is that they're looking for that perfect deal, right? Where it's got to check every single box. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't have to be perfect. And sometimes it's not going to be a home run. Like, have you met any investor that's retired off of their first deal? Like, right. I haven't met a single person that made so much money on their very first deal that they never had to work another day in their life.
Yep.
Like, there's going to have to be a second deal. There's going to have to be a fifth deal. There's going to be a 10th
If they
deal.
Did make a lot, they probably had the lifestyle creep and blew it on. Yeah.
But I think that's an important point for the rookies, right? Is that your first deal, and we say this all the time, the purpose of the first deal is to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. It's to give you the confidence. It's to give you kind of like the training wheel so you can keep moving forward in this journey of financial freedom. So love that you said that. Love that you pointed that out.
And even if you do find, you know, the perfect property, you wait so long and you're like, okay, finally I found it. The numbers are perfect. Something's probably going to go wrong, and it's actually not going to be perfect. Yeah. So you might as well have started 2 years ago, you know? That's kind of how I thought about it. I was like, it seems good. I'm just going
to
do it.
Yeah. You have to take action at some point. Mm-hmm. So with the bank financing, what kind of loan did you get onto the property?
I did a conventional loan, 20% down because it was an investment property.
And then just a 30-year fixed?
Yep.
Okay. And then you're going to go and refinance, and how long? How long do you think the rehab will take?
So the lender said that they would refinance me at 6 months after a purchase. So I'm assuming, since I've already had it for a couple months, the renovation is probably going to take 3, 4, 5 months. So I feel like I can refinance right as soon as I'm done with the renovation, which is perfect timing. But even if I finish early, I could probably find another lender that would refinance me, mm-hmm, right out. But if it's like one more month, I don't mind to wait. If that lender gives me better rates or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I think there's a stigma that you have to, when doing the BRRRR strategy, that you have to use cash or use hard money or use a line of credit or something, mm-hmm, and not go and get a conventional loan and then refinance out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to talk about how it's not that bad?
That's actually one of the things that I would always listen to David talk about, and everything with like refinancing out all of your money. And I'm like, how did they refinance it all out if they had a loan? But he was probably talking about, you know, using, not having a loan.
Yeah.
So I just did that because I knew the numbers worked. So even if I refinanced and then I had to subtract what I owed on the loan, it was still going to be the same amount of money I put into the property. So that's why I decided to do it. Less cash up front. I have the cash to do the renovation, and then I'll just pull it back out at the end.
Right. So really the only thing that's different is really just the closing costs. You're paying closing costs, but you're using a hard money lender. You may be
super points,
paying
right?
You're paying more than the closing costs would actually be for that hard money. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a
hard money kind of scares me, like low key. I mean, I'm sure eventually I'll use it, but to start, I was like, I'm not even going near that yet.
Well, and the other thing I think to kind of look into as you get close to finishing off this refinance is, since you plan to use it as an Airbnb, ask your lender about a vacation home mortgage, because those they can. It might be different though, because you're doing it as a refinance. I'm not sure how they would look at it in that stance, but typically they'll let you do 90% loan to value as opposed to 80% loan to value if you're using it as a second home.
Yeah.
And since you're using it as an Airbnb, there's no long-term mortgage. You are going to stay there when you go to Columbus to visit. You should be able to qualify for a vacation home. So,
So say that she went and purchased it with a vacation home mortgage, doing the 10% down, she could still refinance in 6 months to that same kind of mortgage, right?
It's just, I'm just not sure how it works, since the original mortgage was a 20% down. I don't know if they'll allow it as a, I don't know.
Oh, but I'm saying, like, if she would have done that from the start.
Oh, yeah,
she
from could the jump.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That's so had your first mortgage been the vacation home mortgage, you definitely could have just, like, refinanced it again.
The same I wonder why my lender didn't say any of that. Because I told him, I was like, I'll be staying in it sometimes when I come back or whatever. But
different, it depends on who you talk to, right? And this is a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because it's important to talk to a few different lenders and just tell them what it is that you're looking to do, and then see what feedback they have for you, right? Like, you shared your story all the time about how you shared what you were looking to do, and they gave you, like, a really cool, like, tell that story.
A 90-day unsecured loan. Mm-hmm. I was there closing on a line of credit, and I said, you know, I've been looking at this deal, gave them a Bigger Pockets calculator report, and said, how can I buy this? What do you have? So he gave me a 90-day unsecured loan, no collateral, to go and purchase this property in cash. And then as soon as I closed, I went and refinanced with this bank and paid off the short-term loan they gave me and put on long-term fixed financing.
Dang.
And I never would have even known that was an option at all. I wouldn't have asked for that.
I've never heard of that. That's cool.
How many lenders did you talk to before you bought that one?
So I just went with who my realtor sent to me. I'm not gonna lie.
But for the first deal, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that's the lesson to learn as you go into the next ones is, okay, can I shop around to a few different people? Can I have a few different relationships? So I think in each market that we're in, we have, like, at least two go-to lenders that we kind of work with mainly.
Yeah.
And as you kind of get more mature in the business process, you start developing those relationships. But I think that's a lesson for those that are listening, is to shop around to see what or who can give you the best loan terms based on what it is you're trying to do.
And all you have to do is go on the websites of the banks and get their email addresses and then copy and paste the same exact email to 10 different lenders and say, hey, this is what I'm looking to do. Exactly. What kind of options do you have? Anytime I purchase a property, I send it out to, like, the four lenders I use and said, this is what I'm looking at buying. What can you offer me? What's the current interest rate? What are the terms be? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's definitely a good tip. And I definitely know that moving forward, I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask more lenders. But, I mean, the rate he gave me was good, so I was like...
Oh, what was the interest rate here?
3.5.
That's great.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not mad about it. That seems fair.
Yeah.
Especially because it's a investment property, so...
And if your realtor recommended this person,
probably... And he's an investor himself, so that's why I trusted him, you know? He has multiple properties himself, so I was like...
Can we talk about that? So how'd you find this investor-friendly realtor, right? That's like every new rookie investor's dream is to find that investor that has the relationships and invests themselves. So how did you connect with that person?
So, like I said, I was back in Ohio, I think a couple years ago, when I was just trying to find, like, an already done, like, nice property to buy, and... I literally was just on Zillow and I, like, found a property. I was like, ooh, I like that. And it was like, contact Zillow agent or whatever. So they, like, set me up with this guy and I didn't even know he was really an investor until, like, we were talking. He was like, I own a few of my own properties. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then, so I guess I found him from Zillow. I got lucky, honestly.
I think you're the first person that we've ever interviewed that said that they've found their agent through Zillow. Like, usually it's like, Bigger Pockets forms. Yeah. Like,
that was before I had discovered Bigger Pockets, or else, obviously, I probably would have found it from Bigger
Pockets. But I think it's cool because you show that it works, right? It's like, as long as you guys kind of have that relationship and it works, then who cares where you find him from? So now we've got another resource to give to rookies. That's good.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, even the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Hiring? Your search is over. Really, there's no need to search. Match instead with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates super fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to hire top talent faster. Speaking of top talent, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. But why do I love Indeed? Because I'm busy and scrolling through 300 resumes is not helping my business grow. It's actually making it slow. With Indeed, I can hire faster and know I'm getting someone who can do the job. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to post your jobs with more visibility at Indeed.com/rookie. Just go to Indeed.com/rookie right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/rookie. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Bryn, what's next? After this deal, what are you going to go after next?
So I think after this one, I want to try to find a place in Mexico because I love going there. So I kind of want to buy properties in places that I go to, you know, to do short-term rentals.
Exactly.
So I'm not, you know, having that lifestyle creep, having to find a place to stay. I just already have a property. But yeah, I think Mexico next. And then I also want to do some deals in Vegas because even though it seems harder or more expensive, I know I can make it work, so it's going to be a challenge, you know?
And that's the mindset to have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go after it.
Before we move off of this deal, just because there's also the construction portion. So is your dad managing that part of the project for you, or do you actually have a general contractor? Like, how are you doing this from living in Vegas and the properties all the way in Columbus?
So I'm actually going to move there and live in this house while I'm renovating it.
Really?
So, and I keep forgetting it doesn't even have air conditioning yet. So that's going to be great when I get out there on Sunday. I'm going to have to hurry up and try to find somebody to put an air conditioning unit on it. But luckily it has, what's it called? The vents all throughout already. So I just literally have to get a unit. But Yeah, my dad is just going to help me. Like, we're just going to be hands-on ourselves. But I think I will probably contact some contractors when I get out there just to get quotes and see what they're saying about all the stuff we're doing. And if it's fair price, I might hire them to, you know, work on this bathroom while we're doing the kitchen or whatever so I can get it done faster, you know? If the price is right, I'm not opposed to hiring people. But I just know that, you know, it's me and my dad to start and then go from there, I guess.
Yeah.
So what's the plan with your primary residence here in Vegas while you're out there? Are you guys going to like rent that out to other people or what's?
So actually Mason's staying behind and he's going to still, that's my boyfriend. He's going to live in our house. And we actually just had a roommate move in because we have a 3-bedroom house and we only occupy a 1 room. So we had a roommate move in. So I guess it's like kind of house hacking.
That's definitely house hacking.
Yeah, I was like, honestly, I never really wanted a roommate. I always said when I bought the house, I'm never going to have roommates ever again because I was like over it. But he's super cool. He's like literally the best roommate ever.
Yeah,
he's like a professional chef, so he's always cooking food. He's like, want to try? I'm like, hell yeah. But yeah, so he's gonna be staying there renting out one of our rooms, and then Mason's gonna be there, and yeah, so they're gonna man the fort for me.
Can we touch on that a little bit? Right, so it definitely is a house hack, right? Like what you're doing is like the definition of a house hack. So how did you guys find that roommate? Was it just like Facebook groups, asking around?
So he's actually just one of my friends, and he was trying to move out of the place that he was currently in, and he was just like, hey, you remember that one time when you said I could rent your room for $400? Well, can I still do that? I was like, why not? Even though I like didn't want a roommate, I was like, you know what, who cares, I'm just gonna try it and see how it goes. And it's been great. He's been cool, like, so yeah.
Beautiful.
With doing OnlyFans too, you can probably do that from wherever.
Yeah, exactly. That's definitely why OnlyFans is so awesome, because you can literally live anywhere and do it. Like
and go to Mexico at your house.
And actually, it's cool because those can be write-offs, you know, because it's like a business trip. Right. I'm working. I have to create content from new places. So that's cool.
Yeah. And before we transition off of this property or after this deal, do you think social media and having a following has helped you, not even for real estate and investing, but just in general? Like you had said you had a following before you even did OnlyFans. Do you want to give some social media advice for people who are trying to either get their real estate business out there or to get investors or anything like that? Because, I mean, you do have a great social media.
So I started building my social media probably 10 years ago when I was getting into modeling, and Instagram was a lot easier to work back then because the explore page now is like tailored to you as your own personal explore page. But back in my day, when I first started, it was like, if you got on the explore page, every single person on Instagram saw your photo. So it was way easier to build back then. It is a lot tougher now, but I would say if you are trying to build on social media, TikTok is honestly the easiest way to build because the algorithm on there is just, it's just so much easier to build a following. Like I just had a video 2 days ago. It was like the dumbest video ever. And it went viral and it has like 1.3 million views. Wow. And it got me like 4,000 Instagram followers from TikTok. Yeah. So it's crazy. Like Instagram for me, at least personally, is kind of hard for me to understand. So that's why I always just tell anybody, if you want to start getting more social media followers, go on TikTok, even though it's mostly just 16-year-olds dancing. There is, you know, other ways to build your network on there. So that's my suggestion.
Should we take us to the mindset segment?
Yeah.
So we talk about this with every single guest, right? Where we want to kind of get into the psyche of Brent a little bit. If you think about all of the assumptions that you had about becoming a real estate investor, about buying that first property, all these kind of fears that you had swirling around in your mind, which of those turned out to not be true?
To not be true. I think that a lot of the times I hear that you have to put in like 100 offers to get accepted and it takes forever, but I put in 3 offers and 2 of mine got accepted. So I don't know. I guess that would be the only thing, but that's not really like a mindset thing. I'm not sure. That's a tough one.
Like, let's go back to the analysis paralysis piece, right? Like you said, it was a year and a half. What was holding you back for those 18?
That was definitely just my own self-limiting beliefs and just being just scared in general, or like not working the numbers right. But I mean, if you just plug in the numbers on BiggerPockets, or you don't even have to use BiggerPockets, if you just plug in the numbers and figure it out, it's really not as complicated as it seems. And like I said, even if it's not perfect or even if you do mess up, that's probably going to happen anyways, no matter what, every time. So not every time, but on your first time. So,
and there's so many ways to verify numbers too. So Bigger Pockets has the rent estimator tool. You can go in and see what apartments are for renting for a two bed, one bath right on there. And you can pull up the property taxes.
Yep.
You can get a call. You can call and get a quote on landscaping. I mean, there's so many things that you can verify so that your numbers are even accurate, but it just takes work.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting in that effort to analyze the deal.
And that was another thing that was holding me back too, is I wasn't really analyzing deals. But then once I started to, I was like, okay, now that I have the hang of it, it's not as complicated. Because when you first go to the Bigger Pockets calculator and you start plugging the numbers, you're like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know how to find that. I don't know how to do this. What does that mean? But then once you do, like, even just like five, it's like you get quicker and then you start realizing it's not as crazy as it really, or as it seems, you know?
I still vividly remember, like, my first time opening up the Bigger Pockets calculator, and you're right, it's like almost intimidating that first time, right? Like, I got my first deal in October of 2019, and I started looking at deals like a year before that. So I'm not that far removed from having that same kind of rookie mindset. But like you said, the more that you do, right, you analyze 5 deals and 10 deals and 100 deals, and by that point you're like knocking everything out.
It's just like with everything in life, anything you do, you just have to start, and you have to it's the repetition, you know what I mean, the consistency. You have to be consistent and keep doing stuff, or you're not gonna get better at it,
right?
So real estate's just the exact same thing, you know.
I think for my first deal, well, I definitely didn't know where Bigger Pockets was then, and I'm pretty sure it was just pen and paper, like, this is the income and these are the expenses and this is what the mortgage would be and this is the cash flow. That's literally all I knew about was cash flow, to look that it would cash flow. I didn't know ROI. I didn't know cash on cash return. I didn't know any of those, the 2% rule, none of that. And pen and paper worked.
Yep.
And, you know,
still got it done. Still got it done.
The old fashioned way still works today.
Cool. So that's mindset. You want to hit the request line?
Yeah.
All right, Brent, are you ready for today's question?
I'm ready.
Hello. I'm a rookie investor calling out of Columbus, Ohio. My name is William Banks. I'm calling because I'm a rookie investor, and I actually just closed on my second duplex. I'm calling to see what would be my next step that I want to take to acquire my next doors. I'm really interested in multifamily investing, small multifamilies between 2 to 4 units. I started off with stocks, so I have a nice brokerage account, about 6 figures in it, but I didn't want to liquidate my positions. I just wanted to know if there was any more ways that I could get financing so I could continue down this journey to purchase more properties. Thanks.
I would say go with financing if the numbers work out. If he's doing like a Burr type method where he's going to refinance out, if you can get the after repair value to be enough, you know, after you subtract what you still owe for your financing, then I would do it. That way you don't have to liquidate your stocks, because, I mean, your stocks might grow a little bit more, you know, in the next year or so. But then again, they might not. I don't know. I would say do the financing.
Come on, Bryn, give us a prediction.
Microsoft went up 3 points. Daddy. Microsoft went down 3 points.
But I think that's a good piece of advice, right? Is if you've got a specific set of capital that you want to keep recycling, the Burr method is the best way to do that. Like, we're in the middle of a 1031 exchange, right? We sold one of our properties in Joshua Tree, and you have a limited amount of time to identify the property before you get hit with taxes. We're like 6 days away, and we're like scrambling to try and figure out what that property is. So for us, the importance isn't so much being able to recycle that capital, it's just putting it into a property so we don't have to pay taxes on it. So everyone's situation is going to be a little bit different, but yeah, I think I agree with you. For William's situation, I think getting the Burr and kind of recycling that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, Bryn, thank you so much for coming on. Do you want to tell everyone where they can find out some more information about you and reach out to you?
So all of my social media handles are the same. It's just my first name, Bryn, and then Amberly. So I don't know if you guys want to spell it or if you want me to spell it.
Go ahead. Spell it out.
Okay. So B-R-I-N-A-M as in man, B-E-R-L-E-E.
And then what about your investor one?
Oh, yeah. So I did just start a little baby account. It's called the Sweatpants Investor because I love wearing sweatpants. So. I'm in them every single day. So that's my other social media. Well, actually, it's just on Instagram. So if you want to follow on there, I'm going to be posting all of my investment stuff on that account.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch the rehab. You're going to have to do time lapses.
And, I'm so excited. I'm trying to, you know, Brittany Arneson. I'm trying to go DIY like her, you know, she's like my role model.
We'll call you Investor Girl Brynn instead of Investor Girl Brynn.
She'll be like, wow, you really stole my name. Like,
she will love it, though. She would love it. Well, thank you so much. Brynn actually joined us at the pool party yesterday, and I'm so glad she decided to show up today after seeing the rookie co-host in the wild.
I was actually going to say, when you said you guys were hungover this morning, I was like, wow, I wish my hangovers were that smooth. That's literally why I quit drinking, because my hangovers were not like that. Like, I would be in bed till 8 p.m. the next day. So. Yeah. You guys did very good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we love your story, and I love your mindset stuff that you post on social media too. And so it was awesome to meet you in person and have you on the show.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
I'm Ashley at Wealth From Rentals, and he's Tony at Tony J. Robinson on Instagram. We'll be back on Saturday with a rookie reply.
The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals. Enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and boom, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. There's free resources only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.